thank you, music ministry team, and thank you all for being present with us today in worship, whether you're in the building or whether you're watching online today. It's a joy to be together with you and be able to worship the Lord as one family, one body of Christ. This week, Sheila and I watched two more of our children graduate. That was on Friday. In fact, yeah, we didn't give them a round. That's fine. Lots of children. Yeah, we had teens from many different schools graduating in the last few weeks, and so it was fun to watch Bailey and Schneider walk across the platform and receive their diplomas. It was interesting. Bailey turned 18 on Thursday, and the next day she walked across the platform and got her diploma. And one of my friends, who's a pastor on the West Coast, he texted me yesterday. He said, "How you holding up?" I said, "I'm over here balling." It's just how it is, you know. And as I was sitting there, the way Solanco does their graduations is they're outdoors in the football stadium, and I was just reflecting, and I had the recent words of my father traipsing around through my head when he recently remarked to me, "You know, you are getting old." And yes, thanks, Dad. I was born in Lancaster County long ago in the spring of 1981. You believe? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. My. Lancaster is my home. Yes, it is. It is my geography. It's my location. It's the setting where most of my story has taken place. And every story has a geography. Every one. Every story has a place where it begins, where the tension of the story unfolds, where the characters that are going to be in our lives and part of our lives begin to be formed, where we start to discover who we are and what exactly we are here for. And I wonder today, where did your story begin? Maybe yours began right here, like mine, in Lancaster County, but maybe your story began far away. Maybe your story has moved through several different locations, through several different homes and seasons of leaving and arriving. But all of us, every one of us, live somewhere. And as followers of Jesus, or those who are seeking Jesus, we seek him and we follow him in a place, on actual roads, among real neighbors, inside of our homes, with people whose names and stories and wounds and habits and fears and hopes and longings are all fully known by God. Now, we've been studying for several weeks the book of Acts, and today is our conclusion of that study. And for the church in Acts, the geography of her story began in Jerusalem. There was a small band of disciples. They were eager, they were anxious, frightened, they were uncertain, and they were gathered around the hope of the risen Jesus. Not a group that was impressive by worldly standards. They were not a people of power. They were not a people of wealth or political connection or cultural influence. They were without buildings, without large budgets, without programs, and without long-range strategic plans. What they had was far better. They had been in the presence of the risen Lord. They had been prepared by him to receive the hope and the promise of his Holy Spirit, and they were clinging to a mission that was firmly held in the hands of Jesus. And before these disciples, at the very beginning of Acts, there was a pattern that was given for reaching the entire world with the gospel. You might remember it: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Friends, this is the geography of Acts. And in many ways, it remains the geography of the church today. And it can be one thing to admire this ideal of the ends of the earth, but it's a whole other thing to love our neighbors who live right across the street. It's one thing for us to celebrate global missions, which we can and do. It's another thing to learn the name of the person who lives right beside of us. It's one thing to believe the gospel is for all people. It's another thing to allow the Spirit to reorder our lives so that we're moving towards people who are unlike us, people who are outside of our comfort, people who may never come near a church building unless a disciple of Jesus first goes near them. And the challenge in the book of Acts is to not look away. Not to treat this book as an ancient history for a people that lived long ago, but instead to treat this book as a living witness to the ongoing work of Jesus. And so as we come to the final sermon in our series through Acts, we encounter this essential question today. If Jesus is still working, and we believe he is, where or to whom is he sending us now? In Acts, we can observe where he sent Peter. We can follow all of the missionary journeys of Paul. We can watch the gospel move throughout the early church. But where is he sending us? Right now, today, in Lancaster, Paradise, Gap, Quarryville, Atglen, Parksburg, Lampeter, Christiana, New Holland, and more. In our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces, the fields that we work in, the stores that we frequent, in the communities that we live in, among those who have not yet believed on the gospel, in Lancaster as it is in heaven, where is he sending us now? If you have your copy of the scriptures, turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be starting in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 this morning. And once you're there, if you'd stand with me for prayer and the reading of the scripture. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful. Oh, we are thankful that we serve a risen Lord. We sung and we celebrated that. Even this morning, before this time of study in your word. And Lord, it is good for us to be together and to share this time in your word. And we have so much to look forward to. You are still active. You are still alive and still working. And you're still indwelling every one of your disciples and calling us to work right where you have planted us. Father, we want to honor you. We want you to take and receive all the glory because you are the only one worthy of it. So help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. Help us to walk and live in a way that points other people to Jesus. That is our aim, to faithfully and accurately reflect Jesus in all of the places and pathways that you send us throughout the week. Acts gives us a vision, Lord. Help us to keep walking in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Verses 1 to 5. This is Luke writing. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. Luke begins Acts by looking back at his gospel. He says that the first book that he had written, which was his gospel, it dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And began is an important word. Acts is not the story of what happened after Jesus stopped working. Acts is a narrative about what Jesus continued to do. The risen and ascended Jesus continues his work through his people by the power of the Holy Spirit. And church, this may redirect us. Because sometimes we can begin slowly even to think of the church as our project. This is our church. Or sometimes we say it's my church. our ministries, our plans, our preference, our comfort, our future. And when the church becomes our project, we begin to grow anxious and controlling and even inward focused. And in Acts, Luke frees us from that burden. The church belongs to Jesus. Amen? Amen. The mission of the church, it's His. The power that we have to accomplish the mission, it belongs to Jesus. The future, it's in the hands of Jesus. The glory is all His. In verse 3, Luke tells us that Jesus presented Himself alive after His suffering by many proofs for 40 days. He appeared to His disciples. He spoke to them about what? The kingdom of God. Friends, this is the foundation of the church. The church today is not and should not be built on the personalities of its visible leaders. The church cannot be built through momentum. The church cannot be established on nostalgia. It can't be reliant upon strategies. We are here today because Jesus is alive. That's why we're here. The one who was crucified in Luke's gospel, He's now risen. The rejected stone has become the cornerstone. The suffering servant is the reigning king. We sang about it today. The grave is empty. The throne is occupied. God's kingdom is advancing. And so as we think about, even talk about how to reach Lancaster with the good news of Jesus, we need to remember that Jesus is and has always been at work here. We are the ones who are new to His scene in Lancaster County. Our not yet believing friends and neighbors, they are not invisible to God. They are seen by Him. He knows them. He loves them. And they are pursued by Jesus, just as you and I were pursued by Jesus. It's Jesus who knows the teenager who looks fine on the outside but is drowning in anxiety. Jesus knows the widow who's eating another meal alone. He knows the weary and exhausted parents who are trying to juggle and balance so much in the day-to-day lives with their families. He knows the addict who believes that he's too far gone. Jesus knows the skeptic whose only experience with Christians has been judgment. He knows the successful person whose life is filled while her soul is starving. Jesus sees them before we do. And He's the one who is mighty to save them. And so the mission that we've been given, it does not depend on our energy. It does not depend on our creativity. These are good things. But it also doesn't depend on our guilt or our ambition. It depends on the unwavering faithfulness of our risen Lord. And He is always faithful. I thought about that last night. I got out after the rain. It was about 8:15. The storm had gone by. And I thought, I'm going to do a little jog this evening. I went out, just a little 3-mile clip. And on the way out, with the storm that had gone through, guess what was in the sky? A rainbow. And the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that rainbow, He is faithful. He's faithful. Jesus is still seeking and saving the lost. He's still opening the eyes of the blind. It hasn't stopped. He's still softening hearts of those who have hard hearts. He's still reconciling enemies. He's forgiving sinners. He's forming His disciples. And He's still building His church. Right here in Lancaster County, Jesus is actively working. So if Jesus is at work, then a question that might follow may be this: where is He calling us to join Him? Where is He calling us to join Him? Let's look at verses 6 and 7 of Acts 1. The disciples, when they had come together, they asked Him, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority." Now, the disciples, they're eager. They're anxious. They come and they ask Jesus, Lord, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's such a human question. It's one we can relate to. They had experienced the risen Lord. They knew the promises of God. They believed that his kingdom was coming. And the question is this it? Is the waiting finally going to come to an end? Have you ever felt that way? Lord, come quickly, right? We've said that to one another. Oh, that the Lord might return right now. Will the wrongs finally be made right? Will Israel finally be restored? Now notice Jesus, he does not rebuke their hope in this passage, but he does redirect the attention. It's not for you to know the times or seasons, he says. But then he continues, but you will receive power. The disciples, they come, they want to know the timeline. They want the timetable. Jesus gives them a mission. As followers of Jesus, we often want to know when God is going to finish the story. And while Jesus is busy teaching us and showing us how to live until he does, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be what? My what? Witnesses. This has been a big theme throughout this book. We're given power. Power from the Holy Spirit. And it's not power for domination. It's not power to be used for self-promotion. It's not power that we've been given to win cultural arguments. It's not power with which we're to build our own little kingdoms and empires unto ourselves. The power that we have been given is one that is to turn us into effective witnesses for our Lord. That's the power we've been given. The Holy Spirit in Acts, empowering ordinary disciples to bear witness to our extraordinary Christ. He is extraordinary. This is the movement of Acts. At Pentecost, the Spirit comes, the church bears witness. In Jerusalem, we remember Peter proclaimed Christ. Before the councils, the apostles spoke with boldness. When persecution came upon the early church, the believers prayed and they were strengthened. You remember the testimony of Stephen. He was stoned to death, and even in his death, he was bearing witness to Christ. Philip bears witness in Samaria on a desert road. Ananias bears witness to Saul over and over again. Peter bears witness to Cornelius. Paul bears witness from synagogue to marketplace, from prison to trial, from shipwreck to Rome. Throughout Acts, the Spirit continues to send witnesses. Not just empowering them to gather. Yes, that is important. We don't want to dismiss that. But he's empowering witnesses to go out. And church, we need to hear this. We need to be reminded of this. Acts is important for us. Because reaching beyond our walls, it requires far more than just having the good intention to do so. We need the Spirit's power. We need it. And we know what life is like when we try to live without the power of the Holy Spirit. We tend to drift, right? We tend to drift towards our own comfort. We tend to confuse all of the activity of our lives and the busyness of our lives with mission. There's a discipline there. Without the Spirit, we preserve our preferences more passionately than we pursue the lost. Apart from the Spirit, we turn inward, we grow cold, we lose our first love, and we fail to faithfully reflect Jesus. But when the Spirit fills the people of God, he forms the life of Christ in us. We begin to look and act and sound like Jesus. And where maybe once we would have looked away, the Spirit has now given us eyes of compassion. Where at one time fear would have kept us silent, the Spirit produces within us a courage so that we can speak. Where there were relationships in our lives that were very slow and complicated, the Spirit begins to supply an extraordinary measure of patience. Where boundaries feel difficult to cross, the Spirit begins to provide humility. Where our witness feels awkward and costly or misunderstood, the Spirit is fueling perseverance and endurance so we can keep going for the glory of God. And so when we ask, how do we reach Lancaster County with the good news of Jesus? The answer does not begin with a new program. It begins with prayerful dependence on the Spirit's presence and power in our lives. That's where it begins. Lord, fill us, send us, open doors, grow our love, make us more bold, help us to see the people that we've stopped seeing, move us within and beyond our familiar spaces as your Spirit-filled, Spirit-dependent body. Help us to see and live in a way that reflects the mission that you have given us is still advancing in this world today. Let's look at that in verses 8 through 11. Take a look. Chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. And the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. Yeah, amen. Right, that whole movement is right there in verse 8. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. The gospel moves outward. It expands. And we as the people of God, me too, we need to be nudged sometimes to move outward with the expansion of the gospel. And so we saw in Acts that persecution actually scattered the church for the good of the church so that it might grow. Philip goes to Samaria. Peter is sent to Cornelius. If you remember Antioch, it becomes a missionary sending church. And Paul and Barnabas are sent to the Gentiles. And as the gospel expands, it crosses ethnic and cultural, geographic, social, religious, and economic boundaries. Acts reveals that the mission of Jesus moves us beyond the places that we are naturally inclined to stay. I like my home. I like air conditioning. I really do. It feels nice in my house. And I like living in my house, even with all of the crazies that live with me, myself included. But I have to go out. I have to leave it. I can't stay there. As much as I want to, there's work to be done. There's places to go. There's people to reach. Jerusalem is familiar. My home is familiar. Judea is close. Samaria, now that was complicated, right? We talked about that before. Samaria, that situation, it was complicated. And the ends of the earth, that feels almost unimaginable. And Jesus names all of them. He names them all. They are all important. And church, we all tend to create and have our own versions of Jerusalem. The people that we know the most, the people that we like the most, right? We like spending time with the people we like the most. How about the songs we like, right? We like singing the songs we like. Think about Sunday morning. We come to church and there's a song we like. Woo! We're singing that. Maybe it's one we don't quite know yet, or maybe it's one that we don't like and we're a little bit quieter, right? Patterns that we understand and are familiar with. We like that. We like rhythm, patterns, things to feel the same. We like the programs that we recognize, and we like relationships that feel safe to us. That makes sense. Culture that feels normal. None of these things are necessarily wrong. Jerusalem is important. It matters. Jesus names it. The gathered church matters. This worship matters. Our fellowship matters. Discipleship, teaching, shepherding, care, all of that matters. But the gathered church cannot become a gated community. Cannot. our buildings are not meant to become the boundaries of our mission. They cannot be. The Holy Spirit presses us beyond Jerusalem. He calls us to Samaria sometimes. Yeah, right, to the complicated, to the uncomfortable relationships, to the disagreement. Think about the disagreement Jesus had with the woman at the well. That's a major thing. There was a lot of awkwardness there between the Jews and the Samaritans. And sometimes we're being called to the Samaritans in our world. Sometimes we're called toward the Ethiopian eunuch. Sometimes it was Lydia down by the river. Sometimes the Philippian jailer in Acts, right? There was Athens, there was Ephesus, there was Rome, and today, Lancaster, right here and beyond. The ends of the earth are not always only distant places on a map. That's part of it, but now today, often the ends of the earth are in our own backyards. They are the people in our own communities unreached by the gospel. They live on our streets. They sit in our break rooms at our places of work. We pass them in the hallway. We coach beside them on the little league fields and the older fields where kids play. We stand near one another in the grocery aisles. That neighbor whose name we have not yet learned. The family whose lives that we know are quietly unraveling. The student who is carrying hard, heavy, and invisible trauma. The immigrant family that's desperately trying to find footing. Or the lonely retiree that is now searching for purpose. Acts compels us to see them. To see them. Not as projects. No, not as interruptions to our day-to-day lives. Not as opponents. Not as demographic categories, but instead as people made in the image of God and in need of the saving grace of Jesus. Church, it makes no sense. It makes no sense for us to say that the gospel is good news while we remain indifferent toward those who have not heard it or received it. We cannot pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, while having no concern for what that means right here in our own city, in our own town of Lancaster. Maybe our prayer would sound like this: Lord, in our homes as it is in heaven. Lord, in our church right here at CMBC as it is in heaven. Lord, in my own heart. As it is in heaven, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, and yes, here in Lancaster County, as it is in heaven. We have this gospel that has not changed. It is powerful, it is the power of God for salvation, and it is wholly centered on Jesus. And so as we began with the opening of Acts, we want to conclude our series again, with a reminder of the final words, Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. You'll remember these because we studied them last week. We conclude with them again today. The testimony of Paul at the end of the book of Acts. He lived in Rome 2 whole years, verse 30, at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul's in Rome. He is not free in the way that he would have wanted to be free. His trial is awaiting resolution. His chapter is still unfinished. And yet here he is welcoming all who were coming to him. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God. He's teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's doing it with all boldness and without hindrance. Without hindrance. And seemingly, as we look at Paul's life at the end of Acts, hindrances are everywhere. Travel, circumstances, legal status, personal freedom. But his mission is not. Because it does not depend. The mission does not depend on our circumstances. The gospel is unchained. So the kingdom is not hindered. The Lord Jesus is risen. His mission continues because he is alive. And so Paul keeps going. And church, we can keep going too. Paul's testimony is powerful. He keeps welcoming. He keeps preaching. He keeps proclaiming the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever age we're born into, whatever circumstances we are facing, the mission and the message of the church has not changed. We bear witness to our eternal King and His eternal kingdom. We proclaim Jesus Christ, crucified for sinners, risen from the dead, exalted as Lord, coming again. Amen? Amen. Today, church, He's calling all people everywhere to repent, to believe, to receive forgiveness, to receive the Spirit, to enter His kingdom. And as such, both in the book of Acts and today, the kingdom of God, it's not just this abstract idea. It's announced in Jesus. He's God's promised Messiah, the Son of David, the Judge of the living and the dead. The only name, as it said in Acts, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's Jesus. And throughout Acts, the church not only proclaims the gospel, but we actually see the church living and embodying the gospel. They're praying. These are habits for us, church. Habits for us to follow today. The gathered believers, disciples of Jesus, are praying and sharing and serving. They're suffering together. They're forgiving one another. They're welcoming the stranger. They're crossing boundaries of difference. They're caring for the weak. They're opening their homes. They're speaking and growing in truth. They're bearing one another's burdens in love. And as such, our life together becomes living signposts to the kingdom that we proclaim. And church, our own county, do you believe that our own county needs to see this as well? Yes? There are still people unreached who do not yet know Jesus living in Lancaster County, living in Chester County, in our own communities, right near us. They need to see a church alive, a church that is salt and light today. To hear the gospel, to hear actual words about Jesus, to know who He is, what He has done, why the cross matters, why resurrection changes everything about us, what repentance means, what grace offers, and why the kingdom of God is better than every false kingdom that this world will offer. And they also need to see a church, a people, a witness whose lives are shaped. That we don't just know the good news. That's important. But that our lives are actually being shaped by its implications. We sang about it today. A people of gratitude, of thankfulness, a people of unusual kindness and joy, a people of deep hospitality, who are disciplined to listen well, who bear and long suffer with one another, a people who are growing in love and compassion for those who are different, a church formed by God through Jesus, empowered by the Spirit to care for the children, the widows, and the immigrants, and the poor, and the lonely, and the addicted, and the grieving, and the anxious, and the overlooked. As we go through Acts, the invitation was not come to this next event that we are having. The invitation is come and meet our risen Lord. Come and meet Him. He'll change your life. He'll bring you from death to life. His ways are better. There are a lot of things that this world promises you, but I promise you, in Christ, life is far better. Come and meet Him. Come and see. We're a Spirit-filled people moving towards others with the good news of Jesus. And so we invite others in. And we go out to live and to meet and to be with them right where they are. We gather on Sunday. We gather sometimes. A lot of us gather Wednesday night, right? And then what happens? We scatter. And we go out to the places that we've been called. We worship in our sanctuary. Then we move beyond our walls to go bear witness in our neighborhoods. Luke begins Acts with the commission, and he ends it with a proclamation. Acts opens with Jesus saying, "You will be my witnesses." And how does Acts conclude? What is Paul doing in chains? What is he doing? He's bearing witness to Jesus. He's doing it. And between the beginning and the end, the Spirit of God is carrying the gospel through ordinary people into unexpected places. God did it then. He can do it still today. Amen? And so if Jesus is still working, and we believe that he is, where or to whom is he sending us now? Maybe, friends, he's just sending us right across the street. There could be somebody that we've been praying for, that we've been building a relationship with over the last several years, and maybe now's the time he's sending us across the street, getting to know them better, getting to know their family better, hanging out together, being intentional about the relationship, maybe inviting them to come to church with you. Maybe it's just across the room in your house. Maybe there's a family member you've been praying for years, and it's just a conversation that needs to be had across the room. We might have those weekly, on a weekly basis in our own homes. But maybe it's to a coworker or a classmate or a teammate or a neighbor, a relative or a friend. Maybe it's to someone that we have seen, that we've known for years. We see them every day at our place of employment, but we've never really began to get to know them, started building a relationship with them. It could be a person that we've avoided because the relationship feels super complicated. Or someone whose life or politics or background or habits or story looks and feels very different than our own. Church, it's our time. It's our time to take the good news and to live as witnesses to the goodness and the grace of Jesus, to be called out from beyond our walls, to see our neighborhoods with kingdom eyes, to pray for the Spirit to awaken our heart, to ask God for open doors, opportunities, to speak Jesus' name with boldness, living the gospel in love, welcoming those who come, just like Paul, and to go towards those who may never come unless someone first goes to them. And we close our study through Acts today, but the work of Acts continues. The book is finished. The mission is not. Jesus is risen. The Spirit has come. The gospel is good news. The kingdom is advancing. Our work is unfinished. We have a memory verse for the month of June. I thought it would be appropriate to close in saying it together today. It's very fitting. So if we can have that memory verse come up, let's say it together. Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Acts 28:31. And until he is finished, we are still sent. Right here today in Lancaster, as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We thank you for this time through the book of Acts, Lord. You have moved powerfully in your church. We witness it from the very beginning, Lord. Right away, your Holy Spirit is empowering disciples to do the work that Jesus is calling them to do. And today, your Holy Spirit is still empowering disciples to do the work that Jesus is calling us to do. Not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, Lord. Nothing about us matters in this. This is all for your glory, for your honor. You are the only one worthy. And we know that you are the one empowering us and that the mission does not depend on us. But Father, with great gratitude, we thank you that you choose to use your people. And we don't know why, but we are thankful. And may you receive the glory for all that you do. And may we be led with mission and purpose back into our neighborhoods and communities, into our homes, our places of work, our schools, with the gospel, the good news of your Son Jesus, making a way, conquering sin and death, so that we can be made right with you through confession, repentance. Lord, you forgive us of sin, and there's a new life that begins within us, a new way to live. And we give you the glory and praise. We pray that we would be faithful to reflect Jesus wherever you send us. In Jesus' name, amen.